Hello and welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. It is a very fine Monday around here. Monday going very well. It's just so good to have an hour to talk with Dr. Petrie about the Old Testament. What a privilege. Really looking forward to digging into that book, A Catholic Introduction to the Bible, the Old Testament. This hour, however, another privilege. We actually had a guest who couldn't make it today, and so we said to Trent Horn, Trent, could you come in and do an hour? And he was like, yeah, I can. Even though I'm the busiest guy in Catholic media, I'll come in. I'll do an hour with you. So we said, well, let's do a pro-life open forum. If you have questions about pro-life issues, the beginning of life, the end of life issues, issues that might come up when life is in crisis in its middle parts, Trent, that's Trent's area. That's how he started out in this business. And he's one of the finest people, speakers you'll hear on that topic. And he wrote a book called Persuasive Pro-Life, which I hope is in fact persuasive to people because you should be pro-life. And so it's pro-life open forum this hour. If you got a question for Trent Horn, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Thanks for saying yes, Trent.
Certainly, Cy, though I will say your recreation, your telling of my answers, I'm going to call that it's more of a dynamic translation rather than a formal word-to-word translation or retelling of what I said.
No, this is what I heard. It's not what you said. See, you say, I say, can you do the show this afternoon? You say yes, and I hear all this other stuff. I'm one of the busiest people in Catholic media, but I'll do it for you.
I do have a bit on my plate. I mean, after all, I do have a daily podcast now, TrenthornPodcast.com, covering a lot of issues, including pro-life issues. I'm talking about the movie Gosnell right now and also things related to the Supreme Court and then other issues that come up for our faith. So, yeah, daily podcast, finishing up, working on my eighth book right now, under wraps right now. You'll find out more about that next in 2019 in spring. But always have time to come into the studio to chat with you, Mr. Kellett, anytime. Well,
thank you very much.
My door is always open, except when it's closed.
I feel the same way about your podcast. Anytime you need me to come in and talk with you on the podcast, I'm perfectly... come up yet.
Well, we already did one crossover. I did appear on the Catholic Answers Radio Club interviewed me.
Well, it hasn't been posted yet. Ooh. We've got it all recorded and ready to go. That's top secret.
It's top secret. Yeah. So I will appear on the Catholic Answers Radio Club, and that recording will also be available to my premium subscribers at TrentHornPodcast.com. So maybe once that airs, we'll return the favor and have you come on the Council of Trent podcast.
Yes.
Be a little, and then nice, we, little, and then nice we can, little crossover
and
event.
We could put that on Radio Club too?
You certainly can.
We'd love to give free stuff to people on Radio Club.
And absolutely.
If people want to join Radio Club, they can just send an email to radio@catholic.com and be a member of Catholic Answers mm-hmm. Radio Club. radio@catholic.com. Okay, so in life issues, it is – I've never experienced a time like this in culture of life, culture of death kind of stuff. You are too young to – probably remember this well.
Try me.
But around 1988, 89, 90, 91, there became cracks in communism. And you, for the first time, you started to feel like and then see, hey, this might not be something we're stuck with forever. It might be ready to actually collapse.
Soviet. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Yes, thank you, Ronald Reagan. And
Will, always, in order to do your Reagan impersonation, you have to start with Will.
Oh, that's right.
And it kind of goes on from there.
But you started to feel those cracks around the late 80s, and then it all very suddenly changed. I feel a similar way now, like the culture of death and this, well, I don't know what else to call it, a death grip that it's had on American courts, American academia, American media. It's starting to show cracks, and I feel like maybe we're on the verge of making progress on life issues.
I think that we are. First, we're holding very strong on public opinion polls. Unfortunately, I mean, there's certain ground that we haven't gained, but in some areas we've gained, especially among young people who are identifying more and more as being pro-life. I'm also very excited about the change up in the makeup of the Supreme Court, because ultimately the reason that we have Roe versus Wade comes from the court's previous judicial philosophy, going all the way back to 1965 to Griswold versus Connecticut, where the court declared that there is a right to privacy. Now, the idea is that this right to privacy is not explicit in the Constitution. It was said that it emanates from the penumbras. It's more of an implied right. And so from there, you get that the people have a constitutional right to contraception, to purchase it, other different kinds of rights related to that, and ultimately the right to decide whether you want to have a child or not, which entails that if I'm pregnant, I should have the right to not have a child, which I would say is a non sequitur because
you have a child.
You're past the point where you just can decide to procreate or not. Now you just you have the child. And the question is, what is in that child's best interest? And the first and foremost would be his right to life. And so I know there's different states who are mounting legal challenges. And if it approaches the court, many of the justices on the court now have more of an originalist understanding of the Constitution, an idea that there is no constitutional right to abortion. And so they may be leaning to overturn Roe versus Wade, though this would not be the end of the matter by any means.
Right.
If the matter were returned to the states, you'd see a patchwork of states putting in their laws. Other states would be more difficult. Some states have already passed laws and amendments to their state constitutions enshrining the right to abortion in case Roe were ever overturned.
Here in California, it's crazy.
Yeah,
I think actually there might be a period for it. You know, when you think of state like Alabama, for example, where we're going to be next month for the radio conference, EWTN's giant radio conference. You assume that the people of good sense in Alabama will make good laws regarding babies. But in California, I would think almost out of spite and anger, things might get worse here before they get better.
It might, but also sometimes when rulings and laws are overturned, law serves as a teacher.
Yeah.
So a lot of people think that abortion is okay simply because it is legal and there is a Supreme Court decision that prohibits states from outlawing or regulating it in any meaningful way. And so when people see that no longer exists, they may be more likely to want to question this.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there's always the hope that the state of California will turn into three states and then one of them will outlaw abortion. It's a possibility.
That's the hope.
I'm
old fashioned. I'm one of those small is beautiful people. I like small states and small government. I think people feel responsible. They do better at democracy. But again, 888-318-7884, the number 888-318-7884. Speaking of Alabama, a Supreme Court in Alabama ruling on a case a couple days ago. Okay, here's this guy. He killed his wife and their unborn child.
Mm-hmm.
He gets convicted of two murders,
right,
which I don't know Alabama law, but somehow that makes it a capital case. Okay.
Right. And so, in 35 states and under federal law, a wanted unborn child can be declared a victim of homicide.
Right. So I assume, though, it's, for some reason, it's not a capital case apparently if he just killed his wife, but killing the both of them. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's aggravated by being a multiple murder or something.
Right.
Okay, so he's going to get the death penalty in Alabama. And whatever we may think or feel about that, the case comes before the Alabama Supreme Court because the guy's lawyers say, well, he only killed one person. The federal law says clearly there's no baby there. And the Alabama Supreme Court says, that's just nonsense. And they essentially say, just because Roe versus Wade says that, doesn't make it not nonsense. And they say Roe versus Wade needs to be overturned because it's an anomaly in the law that so I feel some sense of hope there as well that other courts are standing up and saying,
This is not unusual in the history of jurisprudence in law and Supreme Court rulings for cases to be overturned. There is a legal principle called stare decisis. I think it's stare decisis et quietum non movere. The idea is, let a decision stand. Quietum.
I'm just kidding.
Quietum.
I just acted like I know. Sorry about that, Trent. I like to pretend like I know things.
Do you know what you know, or do you not know that you
don't know anything?
I don't know. So stare decisis is the principle that cases should be respected and that they should be allowed to stand. But it hasn't always been that way. Lawrence versus Texas, for example, in 2003, overturned a Supreme Court ruling that upheld a state's right to ban sodomy, for example, back in the 1980s.
Yeah.
And that was in a very short period of time. Brown versus Board of Education overturned racial segregation laws, first upheld by Plessy versus Ferguson. You see this over and over again. So there's nothing that would keep the court from looking back at Roe one more time and saying that, you know, it's uncalled for and it can be overturned.
888-318-7884. The number, it's a pro-life open forum with Trent Horn, 888-318-7884. But Trent is, I don't know how to say this, I think the second best guest in the studio with me right now. Did you notice that Tim Ryland just came in here and sat down next to you? Did you notice that, Trent?
I had a feeling.
You're not really the second
best. I had a
best.
Feeling on the hairs on the back of my neck. They are pointing directly in his direction, yes.
Hi, Tim Ryland, the editor of Catholic Answers Magazine.
Yes. Nice to be here. Nice to listen in on all the erudition going on.
Erudition, yeah. And I was here, too. So you make this magazine. It's called Catholic Answers Magazine. It's one of the few Catholic magazines that's still in print, which makes it there's just something about that that's so wonderful. They got something in print every
proudly
2 months.
Killing trees since 1979.
Yeah, and I just got my copy in my mailbox today.
We're reforesting. I'm glad that we just got our in-house copies of the November-December issue. So now we're working on the January-February, and that's what I want to talk to you about.
All right, so tell us about the January-February issue.
We're excited. We're doing an apologetics A to Z. We have an apologetic topic for our readers starting with every letter of the alphabet.
All right. Let's play a game with Tim Ryland. Say a letter and see if he knows what topic it goes with that.
Well, this is top secret. But we can't tell you what it is.
Oh.
But I should
that's
also...
a very sly move, Tim Ryland. I think that's a clever way of saying I don't know.
I should also tell you, though, in addition to 8 books, a daily podcast, 2 small children, I assigned these stories just last week, and Trent is the very first person to turn in his stories for the next issue. Just like that.
Yes.
I can't tell you. I won't reveal the topic, but I'll reveal the letters.
Okay.
I am J and Z. So I picked the Z one.
He picked one of the most difficult. I had suggestions for Z. Trent had a much better suggestion for Z. And so he's turned in. Think of the problematic. What would you think are the problematic
Z thing?
Topic or number or letters of the alphabet, would you say?
Oh,
to think of something that
X.
X is a bad one or a good one.
I mean, Q is probably not that bad. Is it bad? Or
Q is hard, but I think we came up with something good. Uh-huh. At any rate, you know, you think of C, okay, Christ, communion, a confirmation. There are all kinds of things.
Oh, right.
We have to decide what's the most apologetic of those, obviously, because we really do want to comment this, not just from a Catholic perspective.
Not just like a random encyclopedia.
Right.
But.
Right. So something with apologetical in nature. So Trent. Saved me with a good Z.
So for Z, because originally I think one of the suggestions was Zucchetto.
But I think I had a question or
that's
something.
That's not an apologetic
suggestion. No, well,
that's what a cardinal wears, right?
It
on his head.
It could be. I guess, could you snatch a Zucchetto off of a cardinal or something like that in public? Maybe there's some canon. No,
come on.
Should you? Could you? Should you? Two different questions. Let's take 800 words on that one. No, I was happy with mine. I think it was a good addition. And then J was one that was kind of a more popular one, but I'll give you a hint when readers read it. It's actually 2 J's rolled into 1. But they'll find out when they get the magazine.
That's a capital J. J or something.
There are at least one other letters of the alphabet where you get a double dip. You get 2 things explained.
It better be C after what you just said.
Well, it may be C.
All right. You won't give us even a hint of what Z turned out to be. I can't. So all of these are apologetics questions. Apologetics is the art and science of explaining and defending the faith.
That's right.
So for P, I would guess purgatory. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Certainly one of the top options, but we ended up, someone else suggested another P.
Really?
That was good.
Panentheism or Pelagianism. That's the other one I would do because there's so many modern P is a big one. There's a lot of them in there.
Well, right. I asked anyone that wanted to take a P, and I think at least 2 people wanted
You should have doubled up on it.
Yeah, well, maybe we should have.
How do you get Catholic Answers Magazine if you want to get that January-February issue that has A to Z of apologetics in it?
Very easy. It's catholic.com/magazine. There's, I think, 2 clicks to subscribe. And now's a great time to subscribe, honestly, because I don't know if you're like me, but I like things orderly. So if you subscribe now, you start at the beginning of the year. You start with the January-February issue, and you get a year. And then you'll just be coming up every year about this time going, oh, I want another year of this. So it makes it nice and clean. Also for giving to your pastor, your friends, your relatives, your
Wonderful.
Seminarian.
Yeah, right.
It's a good time, I think, to start the process. And we're excited about another year of killing trees.
Mm-hmm. You can also go to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com. Did you know that? You can just go straight to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com.
I knew that too.
Yeah.
Thank you for reminding me.
Sorry, because they gave me a note here. That's how I know.
That's how I know too. Marketing tells me what to say.
Hand me a note. Z. I'm going to think about Z while we take this break. And I'm going to come back, Trent. And
I give Trent dispensation if he feels so moved to give you Z. Because that,
I want to see if you can guess it. I do have an idea for Q. One popped in my head. We'll see if anyone else grabs it.
Okay.
Where our listeners can look it up.
Quantum mechanics.
Well, you do. I actually wrote an article on faith in quantum mechanics.
I know, because I was just thinking. I read that.
You could do the quarto deciman controversy of the early church.
That's what I would have done.
Wow.
I'm going to look that up. That's what we're doing.
Yeah.
Tim Ryland, how does it feel to be the editor of the finest Catholic magazine produced in El Cajon and one of the finest Catholic magazines in the world?
It feels good.
I'm glad it feels good. We'll be right back after this with more Catholic Answers Live.
We're waiting for your call. Grab that line and get on board.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
I'm really a revert. There are a lot of converts on Catholic radio, a lot of reverts, those who have come back to the faith. And ever since I came back to a practice of my faith, I started praying the rosary, going to even daily mass. God has led me on an amazing journey and used me in a lot of incredible ways that I never dreamed would have been possible.
Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, tonight, midnight Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their faith and values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Go to Judy. Welcome
back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Killett, your host. Trent Horn is our guest, and it's a pro-life open forum. All they could come up with Zachariah, and that was it.
I'll give you a hint. It's a person.
Really? All right.
So it's not about Zeus.
Oh, zealot. I came up with that one too. And that
there are people who've been described as the zealot in Scripture.
Yeah,
but not the zealots.
I'm just trying to think
not
of
the zealots
any Z
Judaism.
Word that is connected to the Catholic faith in some way. And
it's a person, and it's not ZZ Top.
So. ZZ Top is not a person either.
Are people.
Yeah, they're people, right.
They could be a person in the legal
sense. They're three people.
They're the person in the legal
and
sense.
And two magnificent beards.
If we played their music here on Catholic Answers Live without their permission, it would probably be a court case ZZ Top versus Catholic Answers.
Yes, right. That's exactly right. So. But we don't – I mean, as much as I love ZZ Top, we don't need their music. We have this fine
We have a new
music.
Rockin' tubular theme song.
Following Trent's orders, let's go to Jody in Spokane, Washington, listening on 970 AM. Jody, you are up first. Your question or comment for Trent.
Good morning. I just wanted to call in to tell you that actually I'm a long life Catholic, but I would call myself a revert because I fell into 970 and listened to all this wonderful stuff I never knew as a Catholic. So I acquired a new love and respect for the Catholic Church, and I wanted to be able to give it to my children. But nothing I read was put in a way that I thought they would listen or that they could understand. I am right now in the middle of reading your book, Why We're Catholic. And I just wanted everybody to know that's listening that it's a phenomenal book. It's easy to read. And I think everybody that is worried about their children should buy that book and give it to them.
Well, Trent Horn, what do you say about that?
I'd say thank you very much, Jody. I appreciate the affirmation and recommendation. And I feel very blessed that the book has helped a lot of people. And I hope it continues to help people, both to understand what the Catholic Church teaches, if they've been far away from the faith, or if they're brand new to it, if they're seeking possible conversion from a non-Catholic religion or even a non-Christian religion to being Catholic, that we cover not just doctrine, but also moral issues. We have a whole chapter in Why We're Catholic called Why We Defend Life, where I break down the abortion issue and other pro-life issues simply into one chapter, and to make it accessible for people that ideally I would love this book to be in every RCIA class in the country, just to be able to read. If I wish I had had this once a week to read in my RCIA class, yeah, and just to share with as many people as possible.
Jody, it's fascinating to me too that you mentioned about coming back into the church because of AM 970 there in Spokane. And it is the case that Catholic radio is just changing the whole landscape of things, getting the truth out about the Catholic faith, the truth out about Jesus, the truth out about God's love given to us in Jesus, it's changing things. It really is. And so I'm glad you mentioned AM 970. I hope everybody will remember to support their local Catholic radio station. If you support EW10, if you support Catholic Answers Live, we're very, very grateful for that. But don't ever forget about supporting your local station, because they're the ones that keep the signals out there. Jody, thanks very much for that call.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
All right. Bye-bye. Let's go to Laura, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio, another very fine network. Are you in Nebraska, Laura?
Hi.
Hi.
How are you? Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. Happy to.
I joined the Catholic Church and received the Triple Crown of Sacraments when I was 26. And prior to that, for about, I would say, 6 years, maybe, off and on, I took birth control pills.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until after I became Catholic and learned more about the pill and how it can be abortifacient.
Mm-hmm.
And that has just always troubled my heart, mm-hmm. that I could have aborted a child. And I know the culpability issue, that I'm not culpable because I didn't know that. And I was baptized and everything after that.
Mm-hmm.
But
it still weighs down on you.
Can I do to personally heal or do something in reparation like that? Is there anything that you would recommend?
Mm-hmm.
I'm at a loss.
Sure. Well, first, Laura, I would say that praise be to God for your conversion, that he drew you away from the life that you had into the Catholic faith and to becoming a Christian, to receive baptism, confirmation, and your first communion all in one night. I remember that night myself, all the way back in 2002, when I was received in the church. And you really, as the scripture says, we become a new creation in Christ, that the old has passed away. And through the waters of baptism, we are freed from original sin, actual sin, anything we've done. The most powerful thing that's been given to us in the sacraments to take away sin is baptism. And we should take heart in that, in the mercy that God gives us, that there is no sin too big for God. And just to remember all the other people that God called and in his mercy freed them from their sins. If you look in the Acts of the Apostles in Acts chapter 22, it describes how when it's retelling the story of when Saul, who later became St. Paul, was struck blind on the road to Damascus. He goes and meets a man named Ananias on a street called Straight. And he waits there. Ananias has a vision. He comes to Paul. At first, Ananias says, I won't have anything to do with this guy. He's persecuting the church. He's murdering people. I mean, he's responsible for getting Christians, having them killed as heretics. He's responsible for murder. He's killing people. And yet, God in his mercy chose Saul of Tarsus to be St. Paul. And Ananias came to him and said, rise up and be baptized and have your sins washed away, calling on the name of the Lord. So I think first is just a real turning to God to trust in his mercy that he's given you. Now, even if God forgives us of sins, the weight of them can still carry with us, especially if they're grave. One thing I will say is that while some people do claim that hormonal contraceptives are abortifacient, that fact actually has not been demonstrated with 100% certainty. There are other scientists, including pro-life ones, who are skeptical of whether hormonal contraception actually causes abortions. It's a difficult question to answer. There's kind of a question mark over it. So I would say if it's weighing down on you, I guess my recommendations would be first, finding someone who can professionally help you to walk you through the pain you're suffering. This may have to be a spiritual director. So it could be a priest or a member of a religious community like a nun that you could reach out to through your parish to find that can just meet with you over a period of time to help walk you through experiencing Christ's healing love. Another venue that might be helpful for you, it's related to this, would be Rachel's Vineyard. Rachel's Vineyard is a ministry for women who are post-abortive, but you might want to contact them and say, is there anyone I can speak to in your ministry? I just feel guilty about using hormonal contraception. I'm worried it was abortifacient. And they have a lot of experience in helping women and some men as well who are involved in paying for abortion procedures to heal from the trauma that they've endured. So just remember, God wants you to experience the healing love of His grace. He doesn't want you to live in the past of your sins. They have been washed away. And He wants to give you grace to have further healing and be renewed and transformed as a new creation in Christ. So why don't you hang on to the line and leave your email address, and I'll be sure to send you some of those resources. So please down the line, our call screener will get your email address.
Thank you, Laura, very, very much. It's a Pro-Life Open Forum with Trent Horn this hour. 888-31-TRUTH is our number, 888-318-7884. Zwingli. No? Zoroastrianism?
It's a person. It's not Zwingli.
This is Bishop Robert Barron. You're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
A generation ago, Christian parents didn't have to worry about how to explain transgenderism to their 9-year-old children or help their teenager deal with mockery at school for believing in traditional marriage. But today, as our culture decays, we have to know how to talk to our children about these issues. In Made This Way, How to Prepare Kids to Face Today's Tough Moral Issues, Layla Miller and Trent Horn give parents the crucial tools and techniques to form children with the understanding they need, appropriate to their age and maturity level, to meet the world's challenges. If we're not teaching our children how to understand tough moral issues, then the world will. Read Made This Way and learn how to give your kids a firm foundation on which to build a life of moral clarity and happiness. Order your copy of Made This Way today by calling 1-888-291-8000 or logging onto the shop at Catholic.com.
With the recent commemoration of the 50th anniversary of the release of Humanae Vitae, there have been fresh attacks on Catholic teaching from outside and, unfortunately, inside the Church. That's why Catholic Answers thought it critical to provide a vigorous affirmation of Pope Paul VI's prophetic wisdom with our newest book, Inseparable, 5 Perspectives on Sex, Life, and Love in Defense of Humanae Vitae. We asked 5 distinguished contributors to reflect on and defend Humanae Vitae from 5 perspectives, each of them compelling, together forming a mosaic of truth. Don't be caught uninformed when the topic comes up among friends, family, and co-workers. Order your copy of Inseparable today by calling 1-888-291-8000 or by visiting the shop at Catholic.com.
Do you like to go to family get-togethers?
Or do you dread them?
We're discussing this on tomorrow's Take 2 with Jerry and Debbie at noon Eastern.
Now let's return to more of Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live, Pro-Life Open Forum with Trent Horn this afternoon. So happy to have you here, Trent. Trent wrote the Z section in the upcoming edition of Catholic Answers Magazine, A to Z Apologetics. So that's why I'm trying to guess who it could be that his Z section is on. I still do not know. It's possible it's Zarathustra, right?
Could be.
Thus sprog Zarathustra.
But it is not. No Nietzsche smuggled in here.
So. That's what I thought. It might be a Nietzschean thing.
No.
What about the little cartoon guy? The one that says, go God, when the sunset.
Ziggy?
Ziggy.
No, it is not Ziggy. Right. I have a fond appreciation for Ziggy, but it is not Ziggy.
Ziggy's all right. Yeah. I miss Ziggy. John in Michigan, listening on 93.3 FM. You are up next. Your question or comment for Trent Horn.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Howdy.
Good, good, good. No, I just want to say, first of all, Trent, why we're Catholic. Holy crap. You know, I got about halfway through it so far, and I need to get back to it. It's been a few days. But anyhow,
I appreciate the exuberance, yeah. But let's keep the exclamations a bit more family friendly. Though the exuberance and praise for the book is highly appreciated.
Most definitely, most definitely.
Sure. Well,
anyway,
good. Thank you.
I just wanted to kind of weigh in on, you know, I was born not wanted by my family. I was a product of rape,
And
I was wondering about, you know, when we talk about using what do you call them, the hormonal pills?
There's,
I guess you could just.
Yeah, most birth control pills are also called hormonal contraception. They work by changing a woman's hormones to trick her body into thinking it's already ovulated.
So your question about that, John?
Yeah, no, I was just thinking about, you know, thank goodness that I wasn't taken off this earth. And why do we have to do that to these kids? You know, who's going to, you know, go to the church? Who's going to fill up the church when they're 10 and 12?
Well, it's not just fill up the church, I imagine.
It's not just fill up the church. It's fill up the schools. It's fill up the jobs to pay pay into Social Security taxes that back in the 1960s and 1970s was the big overpopulation worry.
Nonsense.
Yes, you had people like Paul Ehrlich, who was the author of The Population Bomb. And, you know, he said that by the year 2000, nations would fall. He also took a bet with an economist saying that 10 goods in the next 10 or 20 years would all increase in price because of scarcity of supplies. And the person he took the bet with said, no, they won't, because we're going to get more resourceful at these supplies and they're going to get cheaper. And Ehrlich lost all 10 of those items that he bet on. And then, of course, in the 60s, 70s, you had things like Soylent Green, you know, the famous overpopulation movie with Charlton Heston.
It's people.
It is people. Spoiler alert, 40-year-old spoiler alert, but Soylent Green is people. And yet that's not what we've seen, because people at that time did not understand that human beings are not drains on resources. A human being with their rational mind contributes and creates resources. When we make people are intelligent, creative, and they're made in the image and likeness of God, which certainly helps. They are rational beings who are able to produce and flourish and create technological advances. So we've been able to revolutionize crop production, technological access for remote indigenous communities. We've made all of these advances with people. And if we had just said, oh, we got to do abortion and contraception and not increase the numbers, many of these people would actually never have been born. So really what the crisis we're facing now, and there are many countries throughout the world, especially in Western Europe and the Far East, that are experiencing what is called a demographic winter. And that's where they are below replacement level. Replacement level in any society is 2.1 children. You got to have that, at least that, to replace. And in many industrial nations, first world nations, it is far below 2.1. And so now you have situations like in Japan is facing this, Europe is facing this, where you have an aging, older. So it's a double-edged sword. We've got technology's gotten better, but it's keeping people alive a lot longer. Like, they, you know, retirement. Social Security retirement age is set at 65 because it was thought that, you know, you'd probably be dead just a few years after that. And yet now it's not unheard of for people to live into their 80s and 90s. And so you have many people who need to be taken care of, and yet you don't have workers just to simply work to provide a Social Security and a safety net for these people. You have overaging populations. And so ironically now, it's not abortion that will be the big concern then driving this. It'll be euthanasia and assisted suicide. Coming from this, you know, in the 70s, overpopulation concerns drive abortion. Now, overpopulation concerns among the elderly and the disabled will drive euthanasia and assisted suicide. So, yeah, it's so unfortunate when people look at these problems from the exact wrong direction and see that when we promote the good of human life, we have naturally good consequences that follow from that.
John, thank you very, very much for your call. Appreciate it. And I think the sentiment that John expresses about how can we do this, how can we be doing this to little people, is actually a natural sentiment. I want to run that by you a little bit, actually.
Sure.
John. It seems like that's a natural response to destroying children in the womb.
How?
But that somehow we have overcome that natural revulsion of how can I do that? How can we be participating in this?
I think one thing that happens is I believe firmly that all children begin their lives as pro-life individuals, children are just naturally in favor of protecting the life of babies in the womb.
Oh, yeah.
You show them pictures of even small embryos in the womb. They have a natural affinity that that is a baby, and they want to protect that. That is something that you have to something that you have to disabuse yourself of as you get older for what you think is a very compelling reason. And so I believe if unborn children had no relation to the sexual act, nobody would be pro-choice. If somehow we could reproduce by a means where a child came into existence in some kind of external womb, where yeah. we did something and the child comes into existence, they grow in this womb, and you know it has nothing to do with the sexual act at all. People would treat the killing of these children on par with deciding to abort unwanted fetal kittens or puppies. The idea would be just completely grotesque to us, even if we thought we had a good reason. But for many people, and it's funny, people will say this when you read articles online. People will say it's a pro-lifers claim abortion is used as birth control, and that is a lie. Now, if what they mean by that is that the majority of women, their first resort to an unplanned pregnancy is abortion, that's probably not true. The majority of women use contraception to varying degrees. Some are very inconsistent. A minority are extremely consistent. However, abortion is used as birth control primarily because it is a last resort kind of birth control. It is just the birth control you use if your other methods fail.
Yeah.
And I see that. And so that seems just obvious to me that people will recoil at the thought abortion is used as birth control. But it most certainly is. So the natural love and affinity we would have for an unborn child, which actually Layla Miller and I talk about in our new book, Made This Way, how with elementary students, explaining abortion to them is the hard part here is just dealing with their broken innocence.
Yeah,
they get it. Then when
they know what's happening.
Teenagers, it gets hard because the justifications and rationalizations form saying, well, abortion is kind of a last resort. What if I get pregnant and I can't have a baby and the contraception didn't work?
Yeah.
And so now a rationalization for one's self-interest comes into play, and it's just a very strong primal urge. Naturally so, we have to engage in the marital act, unfortunately outside of the context of marriage, to engage in this act ordered towards procreation. It's a very strong desire we've naturally evolved with, and because it is so strong, it motivates all kinds of over-the-top rationalizations to try to justify something that is simply unjustifiable.
Pro-Life Open Forum with Trent Horn this hour, 888-318-7884, our number, 888-318-7884. I hope that you're right, that if there wasn't this kind of sexual revolution aspect to it, if you could just say, well, the child will be raised in an artificial womb, will be gestated there, that people would see the sense. But I feel like we've become more and more cold-hearted, and that for example, disabled children. I think the people would say, no, just destroy that child's life now.
We already see that. The nation of Denmark, for example, is striving in the next few years to be a completely Down syndrome-free country, not through gene therapy by preventing trisomy 21 from occurring in the human genome in the first place, but by simply locating anyone in the womb who has Down syndrome and ending their lives. So, and what's ironic when people talk about abortion or euthanasia and assisted suicide for the disabled or ending the lives of the disabled, it's funny, they make a value judgment that those people's lives are not worth living. Yet surveys routinely conducted of people with these disabilities, like Down syndrome and even more severe disabilities, still say they are glad to be alive and they want to keep living.
Yeah.
So it's a funny kind of – it's funny and like a clown dying funny, a very sad kind of funny. It is awful that we impose our own sense of what is valuable in life onto others. It's just kind of a prejudice or discrimination. Say, well, your life couldn't possibly be worthwhile. How could it be? Well, you're not in my shoes. It's like we talk about first world problems. My Netflix is buffering, so I can't watch Making a Murderer tonight, for example, and my evening got ruined. It's such a, the things we think are problems are incredibly trivial to people who have much more serious problems. And yet some of those people actually rate having higher life satisfaction or at least equal and on par with those of us in the Western world. So, take yourself out of yourself and try to see where other people are coming from.
888-318-7884 is the number right now. The store-wide fall sale continues. You can get hundreds of Catholic Answers books, CDs, DVDs, including Trent Horn's books that we have discussed on this show. I think we've discussed Persuasive Pro-Life. We've discussed Made This Way, the new one with Layla Miller. We've discussed Why We're Catholic. But there are all kinds of hundreds of books there at shop.catholic.com. You get 20% off when you put in the promo code CALIVE18 at shop.catholic.com.
There's only one. Catholic Answers Live.
Do you want to end abortion, halt the attack on traditional marriage, and ensure religious freedom for ourselves and for our grandchildren? To do this, we must convert the culture. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a grassroots initiative that recognizes this need and takes it to the streets. If you're interested in peacefully sharing the gospel in your area, visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
EWTN, teaching the truth.
I love listening to Catholic Radio. It's perfect. It provides peace and it builds us up and strengthens us. We listen to it whenever we're in the car. My husband and I love it. He got me started with it before he even became a Catholic. He owns his own business and so he's working by himself and he listens to Catholic Radio. He's called in several times too. It's using the technology that we have for good.
EWTN, live truth, live Catholic.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Trent Horn, our guest this hour. It's a pro-life open forum. If you have questions about life in any of its stages, what appropriate care for life is, what our immoral means in responding to human lives in distress, just give us a call, 888-318-7884. I got two more Z's for you. This is all I can come up with. If it's okay. Not these two, Zorro?
It is not the Legend of Zorro.
Zod? See, with you, Zod seems like a reasonable possibility because... Well,
because we could talk about how you should not worship... Even powerful creatures do not deserve the worship we give to God alone. Like in Superman 2, where he says, "Kneel before Zod."
Right, exactly. You could do a Zod on that, but I was thinking because you think of yourself as Superman, that Zod would be a good one for you to write about. But
I rarely think of myself as Superman. I don't think I could be the big blue Boy Scout. That's who he is. He's the big blue Boy Scout. Now, Superman is a great character. He has not translated over well to film since the 1970s, but I'm waiting for a director who can do that. Until then, there's actually some great animated films related dealing with Superman. All-Star Superman is one example of that.
So I got to wait till the January-February issue of Catholic Answers Magazine to find out what Z person you wrote about.
You can keep guessing.
I got nothing else. I'll try to think while Al asks his question here. Al in Marcellus, New York, watching on YouTube. You are on with Trent Horn. Your question or comment, Al?
Yeah, I wanted to get Trent's take on the decline in abortions over time. I guess, you know, I'm curious if you think, you know, I've read some things. So, for example, recently I read a book called iGen that talks about, you know, maybe kids in high school, they're not doing some of the high-risk stuff that previous generations were involved in. So do you think maybe that's part of the reason, you know, that kids just aren't having, you know, casual sex? Or... I guess on the other side of the spectrum, the other thing I wondered about as far as like with regards to like chemically induced abortions, is it maybe some abortions aren't just being, you know, not being tracked? I'm just curious what your thoughts were.
Sure. And I would say that's a sociological or a statistical question that I don't have a firm answer. I have some ideas that I think anything like why abortions have decreased from the early 90s, there was a high about 1.21 million. Then it dropped to 1.06 million since the 1990s. And I think it's even lower than that now, what we see. When you're talking about this kind of behavior that involves millions of individuals within a country across a lot of different socioeconomic backgrounds, a simple answer usually does not present itself as to why this procedure has declined over several decades. A few things pop to mind. Number one, I do think changes in sexual behavior among adolescents is one answer. We've seen this even in the early 1990s, but today the iGen generation is correct that young people are more likely to want to spend time with their friends in a virtual environment, online, Instagram, on social media accounts, than in the real world. You're not going to cause an unintended pregnancy if you're not in the same room with somebody. So that is a certain fact right there. So that may be one answer. Number two, it may be the case there could be. So along with a decrease in sexual activity, there might be an increase in the use of contraceptives. That may be a possibility. So there are less. So one answer is there are less unintended pregnancies. That's one, which could be caused by numerous things. Contraception use, a decrease in sexual activity among young people or people who would have unintended pregnancies. There may also be an increase in pro-life attitudes, that those people who end up facing an unintended pregnancy are less likely to choose abortion than they would in the past, that every generation that is coming up is more pro-life than the generation before it. So if you have people who are more likely to choose life, to not choose to have an abortion, that will decrease abortion rates. Another thing that may be causing this are the effect of local limits on abortion. So Michael New is at the University of Alabama, published a paper on this back in 2011 called Analyzing the Effect of Anti-Abortion U.S. State Legislation. And he shows how in different states you see decreases in abortion procedures, abortion rates, when states adopt things like parental consent laws, informed consent laws. You have to tell a woman what is entailed in an abortion. Also, waiting periods. You have to wait. Laws that are regulating abortion facilities. So I think that along with abortion facilities that close because they choose to not meet local ordinance and zoning codes and regulations, may be another factor. So those would be kind of my attempts to answer this factual question: why the numbers have been going down. And I just praise be to God that they are going down, and I hope that they continue.
Thanks, Al. Appreciate it. Trent, a little advice from you, if I may. If it was your mother's birthday, would you say happy birthday to your mom on the air? Or do you think that would be wrong to say happy birthday, mom? Happy birthday, mom.
I think that would be quite permissible, provided your mother had not previously told you to not do that.
Oh, no. She doesn't mind. She turns 39 every year.
I think it's quite permissible.
All right. On my mom's birthday, I'm going to do that. I'm going to go, happy birthday, mom.
But you're not going to say that today.
No, today is her birthday. Happy birthday, mom. Thanks, Trent. I appreciate you helping me with that.
There you go.
Next up, Missy in Florida, listening on Peace Be With You Radio. Missy, my favorite name for a woman. I don't know why. I just feel a great deal of affection for that name, Missy. Your question for Trent.
Well, I wanted to share with him that a female family member came to visit me last month. Actually, August. 2 months ago. And her friend called her up and said, please come pick me up. The abortion is over. Mm. And I was shocked.
Wow.
That this is a super pro-life household. So I was at a loss for how to counsel my friend. And I told her, it's less than 8 months to wait it out, or 9 months to wait it out. And I said, you know, I even looked up crisis pregnancy centers in that location. This woman already has a toddler, and it broke my heart.
Mm.
This toddler lost a brother or a sister.
Okay, so Missy, let me understand. You know a friend, and they received a call. Your friend is pro-life, and they received a call from someone requesting that your friend pick them up from an abortion facility. They just had their abortion. Is that what I'm...
Yes, exactly.
Okay. And so your friend is a very committed pro-life individual.
Well, it's kind of iffy because she's telling me the story and she says, but mom, everybody in the city needs to be on the pill. And I said, no, because that's just going to, I told her the whole thing, that's going to lead to more abortions. And I think what might be out there.
Missy, I think what would be helpful here is that with your, it sounds like there's two individuals here who could require assistance. This woman who has had an abortion, is probably dealing with the after effects of that. If not now, they may come later. Some women don't experience the most common feeling women experience after an abortion procedure is over is relief. Now, some pro-choice people cite that as evidence that abortion is not wrong, because the most common emotion afterwards is relief. But even someone who wanted to do something really, really wrong, like Sai, if you chose to rob a bank and you got out of there with the money, the first thing you might feel is relief. But then shortly thereafter, you'll feel regret and guilt.
Well, how much money?
Situation is over.
Yeah.
So this woman who's had an abortion, I would recommend trying to share resources with her to say, you know, if you're ambivalent, if you're really going through a lot, you keep thinking about this. I know some women that you could talk to. Rachel's Vineyard is a great resource. Also, Silent No More is helpful. But if someone's still kind of ambivalent, a counselor or someone with an organization like Rachel's Vineyard would be helpful. Second, Missy, it seems like your friend who picked her up may have mixed feelings about abortion itself. She may think it's wrong, but not really, really, really wrong, like as wrong as ending the life of an infant or toddler. So I'd like to send you a copy of my book, Persuasive Pro-Life. You may learn in there how to have a conversation with this friend to make sure they're really on target when it comes to understanding the wrongness of abortion. Though I will say this, and I want to hear if there's anything else I can help you with. I'm glad to help you. In a situation like this, it wouldn't necessarily be wrong. Now, I would say that it would be wrong for you to take your friend to an abortion facility. I would say that's something I cannot do. But if they are there and they call and reach out to say, I just did this, they may be experiencing regret, whatever it may be, I did this, can you come get me? This may be a chance to offer that that gracious olive branch, to be an ear, to listen to this person and help them heal and reconcile with what they've done, for you to be there for that person. So I don't think it's necessarily wrong in that situation. It would depend on the situation, of course, but I think it's good to maintain those channels of communication with someone who may be hurting a lot. So I'd like to send you the book. Is that helpful, or is there anything else you're wondering about?
I'd like to pass that book along to my young friend.
Well, how about I send you two copies?
Because I have it already.
Oh, you do?
I have an ebook.
Oh, you do have the ebook. Then I will send you a physical copy, yeah, and you can give that to your friend, and yeah, you can talk about it, and I think you will find it very helpful.
All righty.
Thanks, Missy.
Sure.
Thanks very much. We go now. Wait, Zeus?
It is not about the Roman god, the Greek god Zeus, though. That you're getting. I mean, that could be maybe 800 words. The gods of mythology versus the true god, but and also in Athens, it was believed when Paul and Barnabas went there that Zeus and Apollos had come down from heaven them. So
I like that Barnabas was Zeus too.
Yeah,
Paul didn't even get Zeus.
I'm sure that I mean, when you and I go out in public, people think the gods have come down among them. So it's quite understandable.
I bet I've not noticed that people think that.
They do.
Is that Zeus and Apollos? I've never heard that. Jim in Indianapolis, listening on Catholic Radio Indy 89.1. Your question or comment for Trent Horn.
Hi. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I was wondering how are we actually pro-life and not just pro-birth? Who takes care of the mother and the child? When the mother can't take care of the child, what happens?
Okay.
Well, I think that the question of providing for people who are in poverty is a distinct one from the question of whether abortion should be legal or illegal. And unfortunately, many people conflate these two questions when they talk about juxtaposing the idea of being pro-life or pro-birth. I have no problem with saying I'm pro-birth in the sense that I am pro not ending a child's life before they are born. So some people think that if you are against abortion, yet you aren't in favor of certain social programs to combat poverty, you would be inconsistent. And that's actually not true. The only inconsistency would arise if you were only pro-birth in the sense that you were against killing babies before they are born, but you were okay with killing them after they are born. That would be a gigantic inconsistency you couldn't remedy in your worldview, which is ironically, that is the inconsistency of the pro-choice worldview. It's reversed. They are against killing babies after they're born, but not before. So I think that pro-life and pro-birth, you know, it's different here. Pro-life contends that there is a right, every human being has a right to life. That's it. Now, the question of human beings who exist who have a right to life, how do we make sure to combat that they are in poverty? We should promote the common good. The principle of subsidiarity would say that those closest to those who are in poverty should help them as needed. Then the circle gets wider from local, state, national to international agencies. And if you'd like, you can check out in my book, Persuasive Pro-Life. I talk about that subject more in depth.
Jim, thank you very much. Thanks to everybody who called. Thanks to you, Zeus, for a very I've got confused. That's Trent Horn. Thank you, Trent Horn. Thank for a very fine hour.
And thank you, Mr. Cy Kellett, shining brighter than Apollos himself.
And what about Zebedee, the father of James and John?
It is not Zebedee.
Oh, for crying out loud. 2 hours of open forum tomorrow on Catholic Answers Live. Join us. Any question is welcome about the Catholic faith. And you don't have to be Catholic to call. See you then, God willing, on Catholic Answers Live.